Yesterday, we had another one of those moments in this country that seemed to be happening in far too often. There was a school shooting, 19 students, elementary school, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, 19 of them, and two adults, shot down, killed. And Steve Kerr, who's had his own father's life was taken by gunmen in Beirut, has always been passionate about this topic. And before the Warriors game with the Mavericks last night, Steve Kerr said some things that I'm going to agree with 98% of, but it's the 2% of that I would like to point out that I don't agree with. So let's hear what Steve Kerr said. Now, this was before the Warriors-Mavericks game on the school shooting in Texas.
I'm not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left shoot around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here, and a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us. We are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
That was Steve Kerr, Warriors coach, before game four last night. Obviously passionate about the subject, obviously emotional after the news yesterday, and just really a series of tragedies in this country that continue to happen. And here's, first of all, I would like to say that the 2% part that I don't agree with is this.
Mm-hmm.
The 18-year-old who did this also shot his own grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it? I hate to be the person diagnosing from afar,
mm-hmm.
but is it fair to say you have to have some sort of mental health issue if you're going to shoot your own grandmother?
I mean,
right?
I think it's hard to, unless we actually have the skill set to say whether or not someone has mental health issues, be like, yeah, you had to have mental health issues. Like, from a you and me living, we know that it would be a little off for somebody to shoot their grandmother, but I don't think it's hard to say, yes, they definitively, they do. Does that make sense?
So my thing is, the people who think they can solve their problems with a gun, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's important that Steve Kerr speaks out about this. I think it's important that we have this conversation, however brief it might be, here. Because if we don't talk about it, then there are, even if you just affect one person, that's what's important to me. If you You can't solve your problems with a gun, okay? And I wish people would understand that. And I wish people who are parents or teachers or authorities, people in church leadership positions, would explain to people before it got to the end point where they think the only solution is for me to get a gun. That's what I would like people to take away from this. Mm-hmm. There's a story, and it's a parable at this point, about a boy on the beach. The starfish come in with the tide. And the boy's sitting here throwing the starfish back into the ocean. And the guy, older guy walks by and he goes, laughing at the kid, like, what are you doing? He's like, you got to throw the starfish back in or they're going to die. And the older guy's like, you're not going to save all. You can't make a difference. And the kid throws the starfish back in, as the story goes, and says, well, I just made a difference with him. Mm-hmm. So if there's anyone who's even listening, or if you're thinking about it, or if you're even a parent, if you explain to your own child, the answer is not to get a gun. You will not solve any problems with a gun. If you just remember that, then that's the kind of progress I think you can make. It can only really be incremental, in my opinion. The part where I disagree with Steve Kerr is we can't sit here and act like the 50 senators are going to save us. Mm-hmm. They've already demonstrated they're not. So at some point, we have to make an effort to save ourselves and make that micro effort of talking to the people that you know and your own kids and the people that you're involved in. Because if you've ever been to, there's a disconnect for most people, and you're at the age, Candace, where you probably haven't been in an elementary school in a while. I'm 47. My kids are just finished elementary school. Well, one of them just did, and the other one is about to graduate from high school. But in my own brain, I'm still back at Washington Elementary looking at all these kids walking through the hallway. Mm-hmm. And it takes you back when you walk in and you think about the school lunch and you think about these kids. They were 2 days away from the last day of school. Mm-hmm. When you were a kid in elementary school, what was the great? I mean, it was better than Christmas, yeah, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
The last day of school was, yeah, was so it crushes me to think about the lives not only of that were affected yesterday, the parents obviously having to deal with that. So my only thought is, if one person is out there even listening, just to think to themselves, you can't solve your problems with a gun. Get help otherwise. And that's where I come from in terms of wanting to look at it from a bigger picture and not just, hey, let's make sure somebody passes a law. Because you and I know there's laws against drugs. There's laws against guns. There's laws against anything, gambling. And all these things still happen, right? So we can't depend on someone else to solve our problems for us. And I think it's important that we explain to whoever will listen that you cannot solve your problems with a gun. Yeah. And please get help another way.
Sure. But I think that, you know, ultimately we live in a democratic society that has a governing body who, you know, we have these people in place to assist us, or that's what they're supposed to do. And I think at the local level, if we do have to have more grassroots efforts to say guns are not an option or not the best way to go, then maybe you do start having those conversations. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think he's right in the sense of, there are 50 people who love power who are holding us hostage in terms of how, whether or not we can move forward with some of these gun regulations, because no 18-year-old needs an AR-15 to go about his day. Like, handguns, fine. If you feel like you need that for your home, for your protection, that's you and yours, whatever. I think people take the Second Amendment and have not read it fully and don't fully grasp what it truly means, and they, you know, you interpret terms, but that's just what we do here as a society. We interpret things. And so I think the biggest problem, yes, we shouldn't have guns, and guns don't solve issues, but we also live in a very real world where people don't care. And that we've seen it, and we're living in a pandemic where people don't care. And we are just like, well, if it didn't happen to me, you know, I didn't die, my kid didn't die, so we'll just keep pushing. And I think that's my biggest issue, is that we're living in a situation where until it touches me, I don't feel like I need to have too much angst about it or be too cause for concern. But I'm like, your kids go to school every day. They go to these various locations. You go to the grocery store. Your auntie goes to the grocery store. They should be able to do that and not live in fear or have to have their head on a swivel. And yet, I feel like that's just what we do, and we're going to have to keep doing, you know, until we figure out the best way to move about from a legislative standpoint.
Good for Steve Kerr for saying what he did yesterday. We have a suspension in Major League Baseball. We have Jay Williams making underhanded shots from the other foul line. We also have the NBA playoffs. The All-NBA team And, of course, we have Canes hockey here in What's Trending. At Geico, you have a choice of ways. You know, in English, you have a choice of ways. Start that over.
Like, legitimately start the entire... I got it. Cool.
At Geico, you have a choice of ways you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's do this, Rand.
Number five.
New York Yankees. Third baseman Josh Donaldson was suspended for one game for inappropriate comments that he made to Chicago White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson. Donaldson, who is white, called Anderson, who is black, mm-hmm. Jackie Robinson, referred to him as Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We've had some conversations about race
and
relations
today. That's your
problem
right there. Let me ask the black person. Now, if I were to call you something that you didn't like, you know, how would you make it? If I didn't like it, I just didn't like it. Don't call me that. If we're joking, and let's take a perfect example.
Okay.
So I've been a swimmer, swam my whole life. Been a part of swim teams there. I was the only one. And there would always be this conversation where people would be like, oh, well, you know, you're that kind of black girl. Like, it won't bother you. And you would just say to yourself, well, what kind of black girl am I? Because I feel like I'm the same black girl everybody else says, you know, but they just feel like there's a comfort level where they can get away with more. But if someone expresses to you that, like, they don't, that's not really cool with them, it's at that. Leave it at that. Period. Point blank. Like, let's not investigate no other things and then don't keep it going on. I don't even care if it was in the, you know, back rooms or whatever. I tell you, no, I'm not cool with that. Don't do that.
So the series between the White Sox and the Yankees was already contentious before any of this. Donaldson, I'm going to let him play the clip of Donaldson trying to explain himself because Anderson, in an article, had previously compared himself to Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
And I think it was about being a black player in modern baseball where actually numbers of participations of African Americans is down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was trying to equate himself to all of the things, obviously.
Right.
That the person has screwed up as our race relations are now in this country.
Right.
God forbid where they'd be without Jackie Robinson. I don't think Tim Anderson was equating what he's doing now in modern Major League Baseball to everything that Jackie Robinson had to go through. We should start with that talking point. But for whatever reason, Josh Donaldson saw this article about how Tim Anderson had referred to himself as Jackie Robinson and thought it would be cool while tempers were simmering to call him Jackie. Here's Donaldson's explanation.
All right, so first inning, I called him Jackie. So let me give you a little context of that. 2019, he came out with an interview, said that he's a new Jackie Robinson of baseball. He's going to bring back fun for the game, right? And 2019, when I played for Atlanta, we actually joked about that on the game. I don't know what's changed from, and I've said it to him, in years past, not in any manner than just joking around for the fact that he called himself Jackie Robinson, you know. So, you know, if something has changed from that, like my meaning of that is not any term trying to be racist by any fact of the matter. It was just off of an interview that what he called himself. And when we said that before, we joked about it, he laughed, whatever. As you could tell in our series that we've played, there's been multiple times where I've tried to defuse the situation. Like I took responsibility for the tag, wasn't trying to do anything there. Like today, just trying to defuse it, like, hey, like make light, like, hey, we're not trying to start any brawls or anything like that. Obviously, he deemed that it was disrespectful. And look, if he did, I apologize. Like, that's not what I was trying to do by any manner. And, you know, that's really, that's what happened.
So that's Josh Donaldson, obviously, before he's suspended.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite seem to be clicking with him that he should not have done that.
I just feel like the stories aren't adding up. There either is more to the story or like, I'm not understanding because if...
It almost feels like he thinks him and Tim Anderson are friends.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. Like they had a buddy-buddy conversation and it's already been said to Tim. Like he's already called him Jackie as a joke. I don't know why all of a sudden it would be an issue. But again, maybe there's more to the story. I'm not getting the disconnect here because... But then you reserve the right to change your mind. Like, maybe it was funny the first time, or maybe he laughed the first time trying to play it off, but he really was uncomfortable.
Maybe thinking I didn't hear what he was saying.
Or like, maybe I heard it, but I'm not really, I don't feel like fighting that day. You know, like, you
fair
know?
Enough. Baseball get this right with the one game suspension?
I mean, whatever. They're going to do it. The way my guy, Rob, what's his name? Manfred? He's not my guy.
We don't speak his name on here.
Okay. Mm-mm. Yeah, I get it. Mm-mm. Yeah, he's just not.
The man fry him steamroller.
People forgot, like, now that we have baseball, they're like, oh, everything's fine now. No, Rob.
Right. It's terrible. We almost didn't have baseball. Yeah. So, like, it just, I mean, I get what they're doing for, you know, PR sake, but it's just, no. Will he learn a lesson? Who knows if Josh will learn a lesson? What he's talking, I feel like he doesn't even know what he did.
He's actually on the COVID list right now, so he's not served his suspension yet. So.
Dang. Well, you know what? Never mind. Let me be quiet. Go ahead. Number four. Come on.
All right. Next one.
Number four.
So Candace Cooper is here today in studio with us. And Joe Ovies has been out at Durham. He was over at Duke, actually. Keyshawn Johnson from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. You can listen to every morning right here on 99.9 The Fan, ESPN Radio. We had three lucky contestant winners throw passes to Keyshawn Johnson over at Duke in their indoor practice facility. Then we had, I just saw the highlights on 99.9 The Fan's Facebook page. We had one fan was able to go over to Duke at, actually, Cameron. It wasn't the original deal, but they were in Cameron. And sounds like it was a pretty good day. Yeah. So if you want to see any of those highlights, check them out on our Facebook page or on the Twitters, 99.9 The Fan. And now we have the co-host of this program, Joe Ovies. Joe, how are you?
Good, man. Good, man. Yeah, it was a...
great to hear your voice. I have not heard your voice all day, so I'm glad you're calling in and checking in.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, I heard you had some guy named Jose come in and suck at the mixtape earlier.
Terrible.
So. It was a struggle.
That was terrible. That's terrible. That's a hard game, man. I mean, that's why we don't give out a lot of tumblers. Yeah, so big shout out to ESPN and ESPN Radio. They've been doing this thing where Keyshawn and Jay and or Jay have been going to various affiliates, and today they were doing the show from our studios. And Jay Williams is going to be in our studios again tomorrow morning, too, doing the show. So it's kind of, I don't know if you caught it this morning on TV, Joe and Candace, but it was like, oh, hey, there's our studio on national television. That's kind of strange, right?
Shout out to Will, making it look good.
Yeah, no, Will makes everything look good, man, and sound good. So we put the call out for listeners, and we had three lucky listeners come out here to do two different things. So we had Rodney and we had Eric give the damn ball, if you will, to Keyshawn over at the Yo practice facility for Duke football. But what was funny is just Key was in his element, man. He was like back on a football field, he was running around, you know, sweating up a storm. And Rodney ended up being the guy who was able to get it to Keyshawn consistently. Eric, while he sounded the part, he was like, you know, Omaha, Omaha, all that stuff. He just couldn't connect with Key. So Rodney ended up winning a Keyshawn Panthers jersey. He's going to be going out to the home opener for the Carolina Panthers. And then, okay, so we were originally not supposed to go to Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Right.
But guys, let me ask you something. If Jay Williams is on Duke's campus, the same Jay Williams who
jersey's in the rafter. I mean, yeah, it's retired.
We know that Jason Williams is in the rafters. We know that Jason Williams is in all the record books, right? And with championship. So if the dude who's part of a championship and has a name in the rafters shows up on campus and he wants to go in Cameron Indoor Stadium to shoot hoops, how do you think that's going to play out?
He's absolutely going to go in and play hoops.
I hope.
Yeah, they open up the doors to Cameron. So that was a real cool bonus for the listeners. And David was the winner for the basketball part of this with Jay Williams, and they played a game of horse. Now, look, Jay was a little cold. He was maybe the rims were a little too soft for him. I don't know. But that lasted a lot longer than I thought it was going to between David and Jay. Although, credit to Jay, he did not acquire a letter when playing horse against our listener, David. But it went a little longer than anticipated. But the real highlight, man, was, you know, Jay screwing around inside Cameron Indoor Stadium, you know, trying to play one-on-one, everything else. He decided to do from the free throw line on the opposite end of the court, not leaving his feet shot. Attempt one, he missed, hit the rim. attempt two, which is on our social media channels right now, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, my Twitter account, all that stuff. On attempt two, he swished it.
Swish.
Now, it's one thing to watch Jay do this. It's another to look at Key's reaction to what had just happened. He was like in disbelief. He's like, I can't believe that actually happened. So all those videos and things are on our social media channels. So go check that out.
Awesome.
That's pretty dope.
Did you answer the most important question of the day? The winner who got to face off with Jay Will, was it a Duke fan, Maryland fan, or Carolina fan?
It was a Duke fan. I was very sad it was not a Carolina or a Maryland fan. Because if it was a Carolina or a Maryland fan, Jay might have put the heat on him. Oh, wow. I didn't realize they got a little lifted truck out here in Durham. What's going on, man? Anyway.
And you guys are headed over to the Durham Bulls tonight. Jay Will's throwing out the first pitch at the D-back.
Yeah, so if you're coming out to the Durham Bulls game tonight, taking on the Charlotte Knights, I'm killing a little time here. Shout out to Bull. Can you guys guess where I am right now in between hanging out at Duke and going to a Bulls game?
In the hospitality
somewhere in
room.
A beer, getting a beer at the Durham Bulls.
Well, that's next. That's next.
You disappointed.
I'm at Bull City Records.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Joe Ovius. That means you'll be back in studio tomorrow, and you'll be back in your customary chair, and that'll be good.
Candace is sitting in my chair, right?
I am not.
No, she's not. I need to see Rand in the clock and all those other good things.
He wants to see Rand's pretty face.
I know.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't know, Candace. You should be sitting in my chair, just saying.
The driver's seat?
Feng shui. You got to keep the feng shui going in that room.
Feng Joe's shui. Has
his, yeah. Joe's got his spot.
He told me he was upset about it, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You and I we'll have an offline chat.
For sure.
There we go. Joe Ovius, check him out on 99.9 The Fan, on the Twitters, on the Facebooks. Yeah, really cool stuff today over at Duke. Thanks. Many thanks to Duke for helping us out with that promotion with ESPN Radio. Rand, what's next?
Number three.
Candace, the NBA playoffs on the Eastern side haven't really made any sense to me. It just seems like someone's going to get hurt, then the other team wins. There's no close games. And I'm just like... The Celtics and Heat play game 5 tonight down in Miami. Heat, I'm just throwing my hands up in the air.
Are you a Miami Heat fan?
I am not a Miami Heat fan. I'm an NBA fan,
strangely. You don't like any team specifically, just good game.
So, I don't want to jinx anything, but I might have a ticket for the Warriors to win the NBA title.
Okay.
It would be in my interests, in my opinion, to see the Heat be that opponent. I wouldn't root against that.
Okay.
I would like to see that happen.
Okay.
But the series, though, it's tied at 2, but it just seems like one game, game 3, Jimmy Butler's hurt, and you're like, oh, well, the Heat are going to lose. They blow out the Celtics. Jimmy Butler comes back, game 4, and you're like, oh, well, they're going to be fine. It's just Tyler Hero. What do they need him for? And then they get blown out by the Celtics. And you're like, well, what is happening?
The Celtics are basically telling you, although they're not no punks, they're not going out soft. So they're just playing hard. But they don't do it all the time.
Celtics are the best defensive team in the NBA.
Yes.
So that's always going to travel. Game 5 tonight down in Miami. The Heat have been very good at home.
They have.
Except for game 2. That's the part where I'm just like, I don't get it. What are you guys doing?
You know, Jason Tatum definitely deciding that this is his year. This is a very good year for Jason Tatum. He is trying to be that leader. Marcus Smart is actually maturing and growing up and trying to be all the defensive things that he needs to be. And so I'm rooting for the Celtics, surprisingly enough.
On the court last night in the Western Conference, the Mavericks staved off the sweep with a 119-109 win. Yeah, there was a delay in the second half down in Dallas. Warriors control that series 3-1. Luka Doncic, you're saying this is Tatum's year. Looked for like a hot minute. It might have been Luka's year because the way that he's been in the playoffs is outstanding. 30 points, 14 boards, 9 dimes last night. Mavericks get it done at home, but this just feels like they're delaying the inevitable.
You know, Brunson, Finney Smith, Reggie, shout out to Reggie Bullock, you know, 252. But they're not the guys that I really want to lean on down 3-1.
Reggie Bullock with 18 points last night, made 6 threes. Reggie looked pretty good last night.
Yeah.
What did you think of Theo Pinson's theatrics? We're all very familiar with Theo's theatrics
Theo's
on the sideline
Theo.
And putting his hand up.
I will say, though, seeing him with a Letterman on, I'm like, you have to be hot as hell. Like, with a Letterman jacket on when he wears his Carolina Letterman jacket on.
You don't think those arenas are cooled down? Like, if you go to a hockey game, it's freezing.
A Letterman jacket.
I normally have a sweatshirt.
You're an amped up individual.
Maybe he likes an in-game sweat. Maybe that's a thing.
He wants to lose some weight, I guess.
Theo. He needs the Zach Wilson plan. He needs to gain some weight.
He needs the Muscle Milk IV pack.
Forever. So Mavericks continue that series. The All-NBA team was also announced yesterday. And normally there's like a surprise or two. But, I mean, how do you screw it up this year? I feel like they didn't. Right.
Yeah, there's not that many. It's really strange how when LeBron James is not the center focus of playoffs or titles or anything, how everyone just really falls off. Like, oh, yeah, the All-NBA team came out, blah. Like, there's not really that much of a discussion as there normally is about who's the new GOAT and who is all these things.
Right.
You know, it just seems different.
So the team was Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets. We had Giannis Antetokounmpo, of course, from the Bucks. Doncic from the Mavs, Joel Embiid from the Sixers, and why is the last place escaping me here?
Who was it Jason?
It was Jason Tatum. Okay. Jason Tatum and Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. So no LeBron on the first team All-NBA.
I mean, they stunk. Come on now.
They did.
I think some of that has to matter, right? Heroic effort to make them better, and they didn't make the playoffs. It was kind of just writing on the wall.
Second team, Steph Curry, Ja Morant, who I think probably missed too many games to be first team because he was outstanding.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan on the second team. Third team, Chris Paul, Trae Young, LeBron, Pascal Siakam, and Karl Anthony Towns. You okay with all that?
Karl Anthony Towns is a very interesting case to me. Like, we could do a case study on Karl Anthony Towns.
I know they vote before the playoffs, but I felt like the way that Minnesota played, at least in that first round, I think some people were like, I remember him. He was first number one overall pick. He's really good.
He actually should be better than he is.
Right.
He's too big to be that bad sometimes, you know?
He can shoot.
Is it Minnesota? Is that what his issue is? Like, maybe he's just in the wrong city.
Potentially. Could definitely
They've
be
kind
in
of,
play.
Well, you, never mind. Let me not go into that. Next. All right. I just, you know, I feel like I set myself on a tangent that, like, I want people to keep liking me. So let's just go to the next thing, you know?
Okay.
That's fine.
Number
two. Too spicy.
I don't get to direct to the next number. So I'm okay with this, though. I'm okay with this.
Candace taking control.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's like a spice. No, never mind. I was about to say something funny, but never mind.
The Warriors did lose last night, but the big story from the NBA last night wasn't just the game. Steve Kerr, who's always been a very emotional and passionate about gun issues and gun violence in this country, before the game last night, this is what he had to say about the shootings in Texas yesterday, where 19 elementary school students were killed and two adults.
I'm not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left shoot around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here. And a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket. In Buffalo, we've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California, and now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight, but I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
That was Steve Kerr before Game 4 last night in the Western Conference Finals. And Candace, I'll say this. I know there's people out there, oh, just talk about sports, or oh, let's do something else. And it's like, or Steve Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
You just shut up and coach the team. No. I don't think there's one way we could snap our fingers and solve the problems with gun violence in this country, obviously. But I do think it is important that different people and in different who have different platforms and the ability to reach different people speak their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any necessarily problems with what Steve Kerr said, other than I don't think it's up to Congress to save us. They've already proven that they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say the best way is for all of us to look at ourselves and all of us to talk to the people we love, and for all of us to say, the guns are not the answer. Wherever you are in your life, going and getting a gun is not the answer to your problems. And if you have mental health problems and you know someone and you love someone that has mental health problems, get that person help before they reach a point where they feel like the only solution I have is to go and get a gun and try to solve my problems.
Yeah, you know, I think it also, when you talk about just being a neighbor, like if you do see something, if you do feel like there's someone who's, you know, a little off, not to say like you need to go be suspicious of somebody, but there are signs. I think there's always a reason and rhyme to certain people can just walk into a store, buy an AR-15 and then go about their way. Like maybe, you know, we have a conversation. Maybe you just say, hey, buddy, like what are you buying it for? Like maybe just inquire. Like I think that's okay to do. If you have someone who's a little bit silent about it and is about to write a manifesto, or you find a manifesto, like maybe we alert the necessary people, because I think at some point there needs to be more ownership on us not doing our part in going out to the local elections and putting these people in power and giving these people the authority to make certain rules for us. So I really just hope that we can kind of come together collectively, but I am tired because I think at the end of the day, it's hard to be like, all right, let's just do a radio show today. You know, whatever. Like, let's just go to work today and like act like none of this is happening. And truly, I don't think it'll change until some certain people are affected personally, because at the end of the day, you're never going to feel like there's nothing. It can never, if you still have the mindset that it can never happen to you, it'll never happen to your community. Like the same people that had that conversation, all these tragedies have happened. Nobody's ever going to think or assume that things are going to happen in Raleigh, North Carolina. Like you're going to go to your Sandersons, your Ravenscrofts, your whatever. And you're just like, this never going to happen here. Like we're all just good and living in our kumbaya world, but it's unfortunate, and it's a very real reality that it could happen. So whatever we can do to prevent it, I feel like we should take those steps forward.
Well said.